This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely gorgeous...
Bird on a Bike.
You had to think about who that was first, didn't
you? I was going
to
say Sarah Ann Lucas, but then I thought, no, I'm going to just keep going.
If you said Sarah Ann Lucas, they go, they've changed co-presenter mid-show. They got some pretentious woman on there now with a double barrel name.
Yeah. I'm not pretentious. Oh, rude. Could you imagine me being pretentious?
No, I couldn't. That's why you're Bird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Bird on a Bike. Ms on a Bike.
Exactly, Ms on a Bike.
Thank you very much.
That's all right. Anytime. Cool. Anyway, welcome back. We've had a very interesting first half of the show, and we got some great people to speak to in the second half of the show. We've still got loads of emails and tweets and stuff to read out. Do you want to kick off with an email, Bud?
Oh, yes, I do. Celebrate the great get-together on Sunday the 24th of June at Westgate Hall in the heart of Canterbury City Centre. So the aim of this event is to bring together a fantastic mix of people from around the world who make up our great Canterbury City. I love Canterbury.
So do I. This is Paul Babra.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Paul. Go for it, mate.
The only thing I've got a problem with is what?
Is what, what?
Parking.
Oh, parking at Canterbury is a nightmare.
Exactly.
For parking.
We always go on about it.
I know. So the lucky thing is the Westgate Hall is right next to Pound Lane car park. So there is a car park right next to it.
Yes. Yes.
But parking in Canterbury is extortionately expensive. You need a mortgage for a start just to park for an hour. And that's if you can find a place.
I knew I'd get you going.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
Anyway, do you know what's there? There will be tables where you can bring your own food to eat or share. I love that idea. Do you remember you used to do that years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you had street parties and that. You always used to bring and eat everybody else's and not your own, didn't you?
At the coronation and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was there too, yeah.
Weather permitting. Don't get me started.
When they climbed Everest and all that. Yeah. I remember that street party. That was a big one, that was.
Landed on the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember that one, actually.
I wasn't there.
I got the morning off school for that.
Anyway, weather permitting, Mr. Andrews, they will be setting up. I can't believe this. Can I just tell you? I haven't read this, right? And I'm just like surmising. And guess what they're doing if it's weather permitting? They're only setting up a street party. No, seriously.
It's great when it comes together, isn't it?
Oh, we're flawless, we are here. So this runs from midday until 3 o'clock. You can turn up whenever you like and make new friends and join in the fun. Guess how much it is?
It's probably free.
It's only free?
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. Not the parking, though.
Yeah.
Your support and donations are essential to help them. So they've got community lunch. So this closing date to send us your logo. So let's just get this right. So they want you to send us your logo for the 7th of May. That's gone. Yeah. What was that about? Do we know?
I think they were just trying to drum up some support.
Yeah, I like that. Anyway, just connect with him. You never know. It's Paul Babra. And this date of this is Sunday, June the 24th. It's from 12 till 3. It is at Westgate Hall, Westgate Hall Road in Canterbury. And here's where you can get hold of them. So it's called the Great Get Together in Canterbury. And you can email Paul on Paul Babra, and that's B-A-B-R-A, at yahoo.co.uk. Love it, Paul.
Did I tell you what he did to me, Paul? I was a guest of honour at his Diwali dinner, not this year, the year before, at Canterbury College. And on the day, I was really ill. I was really ill. I don't know what, a start of flu or something. I felt really bad, really rough. Anyway, I still went along to it. And Paul cooks curries and he puts the most amazing curry. And I got there and I said, look, mate, I can't stick around for long. I don't mind doing a talk, but I need to go because I feel really rough. He said, eat some curry, you'll be fine. And I went, are you sure? And he went, no, trust me on this. I've got a really nice chili one that will just sort you out. I went, but I feel really bad. Anyway, he gave me this curry and it was gorgeous. It was, and I love hot stuff and it was really good. And so I ate it and then I did my talk and I went, I'm really sorry, mate. I've got to go. And he said, I just need you to do one more thing. And I went, okay, what's that? He said, I need you to dance a bagra. Really? One, I can't dance. Two, I don't know what a bagger is. And three, I feel really ill. And he went, no, just do the bagger for me. And then, so I did this bagger dance, which he videoed and is available on YouTube.
Excellent.
And I felt so ill after it. It was
did the
horrible.
Curry sort you out?
It was lovely. Paul's food is always gorgeous. Mm. But no, actually, no, I was still rough when I got home.
Paul, let us know if you'll be bringing a curry there. I'm sure they will.
Oh, he will. No, he will be cooking.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, because he does well cooking there. No, no, he will definitely be cooking, because no one would go otherwise.
No.
Yeah, we're all going because we know he's there with some of his goodies. That's why.
Excellent. Well, Stuart, you've got one of your neighbours listening today, and that's Mark Goldfinch.
Mm. Yes, that's right. He's one of my neighbours.
Yeah, so he's put on here just about to listen to Deal Neighbour, Stuart Lambert at Crosshead Bikes, being interviewed as a guest on the Business Bunker. There's your shout-out.
Absolutely. Mark. Well, let's do that. I mean, because it was actually Mark that put me in touch with Stuart. So, you know, that's kind of apposite now. So why don't we... You know, I was going to give... Stuart, a two-minute warning, but seeing as you've raised it now, I won't. We're going to dive straight in.
Excellent.
I think, yeah, don't you think? I think we just catch him on the hop and go, okay, Stuart, we're going to talk to you.
He doesn't know why he's here.
No,
he's obviously going to know, isn't he?
She's so excited, isn't she? Look at her. She's like a kid at Christmas.
Let's talk about gears.
Yeah, she's so excited. She wants to talk about all kind of, you know, drop handlebars and I don't know what kind of nonsense she wants to talk about.
It's fine with me. It's nice to see you both.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Stuart, thank you so much for joining us. Stuart Lambert of Crosshead Bikes. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you onto the Business Bunker show. And you're a manufacturer, intrinsically.
Yes, there's not so many of us out there, but yes, I am a manufacturer.
Exactly, and that's one of the things. That's why Burb wants to keep me away from this, because she knows where I'd go with this, because... although I don't have any manufacturing businesses, a lot of people will tell you that we don't manufacture anything in this country anymore, and that's just not true. There's not enough manufacturing businesses. And, of course, these days, a lot of manufacturing businesses, such as yourself, are much smaller, so people haven't always heard of you.
That's correct.
Yeah. But what you do is fantastic. So let's start at this beginning. Let's go right back to the beginning. What's your background, first of all, Stuart?
I trained as a product designer and worked for 20-odd years in London and Milan, and but also joined a family business for 7 years.
Right. So what were you doing in Milan?
Milan, I worked with a famous designer, Mario Bellini.
Okay.
So that was probably one of the most pleasurable 3 years of my life.
Right, okay. And what kind of things were you working on?
That was mainly furniture, although it was product design, lighting, various, all sorts of things.
Right.
I worked on an articulated office chair, which was probably one of the most difficult things I've ever worked on. That was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Well, very challenging.
Yeah, I'm sure. Cool. So you've got a background in product design.
Yes.
And you've worked all over the world, effectively, doing the interesting stuff, and I love that. So let's kind of bring that a bit forward now. What suddenly made you go, do you know what, I'm going to go back to Deal. I've done Milan. I'm going to go to somewhere really upmarket now. I'm going to go to Deal, and I'm going to start a manufacturing business.
Well, it did actually start in Greenwich. I think the first 4 years, the product was designed in London, but I got to about prototype number three, and that was when I had to decide, is this business just a hobby, and am I going to, all right, lots of fun, but let's get back to work, or simply go for it? And I mean, it was a very difficult decision, but I decided to move on from Greenwich and move to Deal.
Sorry to interrupt you there, because I kind of want to come back one step.
That's fine.
Which is, what made you decide to think about designing and making bikes?
As a product designer, I think it's really common. We all, you know, like many people, we have ideas, we have things we'd perhaps like to do.
Yeah.
But in my 20s, I did actually design a small product that was sold through the Conran shop.
Right.
Now, it wasn't successful, and business people very commonly talk about what they did that didn't work out.
Mm.
And although it was a fantastic learning curve for me, and I had made a mental note that perhaps I might return to this one day, and so there was a bit kind of an interest for me in manufacturing, but also as product designers through the dozens of products I've worked on. We often, you know, the people we work with in all the various companies, we're in the factories, we see how it's all done.
Yep.
But the product designer often gets called off just before the thing goes into production.
Yeah.
So there's also probably a common theme where, as product designers, sometimes, rarely, but sometimes we decide, actually, I'm going to take this product or something that I want to do through to production.
Okay.
So it's a personal decision.
Right.
Fairly unusual, but not, you know, not unheard of.
Yeah, sure. So you've got this thing going in Greenwich.
Yes.
And you're kind of faffing around with it a little bit.
Yes, that's right.
And that's a technical term, by the way. Just faffing around. Yeah. It's an engineering thing.
Nice.
Yeah. So you're faffing around and you get to the point where you have to make a decision.
Yes.
Do you recall, how long ago was this that you made this decision?
5 years ago.
5 years ago. So can you recall what you went through when you made, because the reason that I'm kind of focusing on this is there's so many, it's kind of like we were talking about earlier, there's so many people out there that start on something and it doesn't kind of work straight away. And it's whether you keep that motivation going to keep doing it. So people like you, Stuart, are a great inspirational example because you've done it and got there and have moved it to that point. So, you know, our listeners, I think, take great inspiration from that. So it's good to hear your story. So you're in Greenwich. You're trying to think about what you do with it. Do you remember what your thought processes were at that time? You know, what it was that tipped the balance and said, you know what, I'm going to go for this?
It was a very difficult time. In fact, I remember it well because it was the 2012 Olympics.
Right. Okay.
So it's a little earlier than I've just mentioned because that was in fact the time.
Right.
About a week later, I'd moved to Deal.
Right.
But leading up to that point, it was a very, very difficult decision. But I had I think my third prototype at the time, and with my background and knowledge of these things, I just had to make a decision: either get back, into the workplace and earn my living, pay my mortgage, or do something new. Yeah. And it was a very interesting time because from that point there was no going back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deal was a decision because to start a business such as mine, where you need factory space. It just, it's incredibly difficult to do this kind of thing in London.
And expensive.
And money is the limiting factor for a project like mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a number of occasions, it could have been brought to a halt.
Yeah.
But
can I ask you, because obviously you've gone from making this chair to making folding bikes.
Well, the chair is related, but remember, as a product designer, I probably worked on many things like telephones, fire extinguishers. Yeah, yeah.
So why look at this as a business of, was there a gap in the market that you saw that nobody else has seen? And you've gone, I've got something, I've created something that I'm going to go all in on.
I think that's the right question. I looked at the market. I mean, I decided I was going to do something because either it was go back to work or do something. But of course, I was well into the project. Also, I'd studied for an MBA, which was a backup plan just in case. But the reason I went, I mean, I've been a cyclist since my 20s. I go out once or twice a week. But on a trip to Bruges, I'd bought a folding bike and not really enjoyed the experience of the ride quality because I, you know, as a knowledgeable cyclist, I just felt that it was possible to do much better. And what I did is I flipped the story. I thought, well, what I think everybody else is doing is that they're obsessed with the fold quality, the fold size, the end dimensions.
I was going to say, because in the past there's been folding bicycles that were kind of developed as a commuter thing. So you can fold them up, put them on a train.
That's right.
And I think you've just hit the nail on the head that everybody was obsessed with getting it on a train rather than what it was like to ride as a bicycle.
Yes, and so I, having studied the market, I mean, product designers look for the opportunity. Where is that gap? What do people want that's not available? The only problem with that is that when you've created that thing, and we have now, you then have to go out there and persuade people that is, in fact, the thing they need.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a nightmare, but doable.
Before you do that, because it's one of my...
It's one of my
favourite rants. Yes. As an angel investor and I invest in startup business, and one of my favourite rants is people go, I spotted a gap in the market. No, you did not. There was never a gap in the market, ever. What you did is you spotted an idea and then you created the gap in the market.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what really happens in the reality of the world, because most of the time there isn't a gap because people don't know they want what you've just developed.
That's right. But as product designers, we're used to looking for that opportunity. But the fascinating thing is that doesn't mean I was well prepared for facing what I face right now.
Sure.
So, you know, we're in an amazing position. Mm. It's six prototypes in. We're in production. The website's out there. The bike's for sale. But there's not a great deal of awareness. Right. So that's my next project.
Sure.
And fortunately, it's something, you know, I mean, I enjoy doing. I enjoy talking about what I'm doing, but I'm not used to it. It's completely new territory.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, I mean, this is the whole thing about the world of business or the world of anything, really, in commerce. But especially with small businesses, I would say kind of 99%, this is just a guess, and I'm good at making up figures anyway. I would say, though, 99% of people go into business because they have a passion for doing something. Yeah.
Yes.
And that they could be florists or they could be web designers or they could be product designers, but they're doing something that they know how to do or expanding around something they knew how to do. But the vast majority of us don't go, do you know what? I really want to set up an organization where I can sit up on a Friday night and do the VAT returns and and the bookkeeping and send things to my accountant and stuff like that.
That's right, of course,
all of that kind of stuff has to be done. And when you're running a small business, if you're not careful, all of that can overtake the reason that you actually went into the business, because you've now got to run, you've got to do marketing, you've got to do admin, you've got to do all the things that most of us just aren't used to doing because it's not what we did.
Well, I mean, I've talked about being a product designer, but I actually spent 7 years and joined the family business. And, I mean, my father employed 450 people. So
what was the family business?
A security business, not related to design, but I was quite happy to, you know, my dad had worked for many years. It was well established. It was a London-based business, very profitable. So I was, you know, brought in and got all the way through to managing director.
Right.
Was really enjoying the role. But sadly, as sometimes happens, my dad and I didn't really get on.
It happens a lot.
Welcome to the family business.
It happens a lot.
Yes, it does.
My dad was much shrewder than your dad, because he went, over my dead body, are you ever working in my business? Get a job as a dustman. And that was it. Okay, so you kind of hit lots of things that people kind of come across, but I want to move on now because the bird's getting far too excited over here, and we need to talk bikes
bike
now.
Questions.
Yeah, we need to talk bikes now. So, where you are with the Crosshead at the moment? You've developed a folding bike. Give us an overview of exactly what the product is, what it does, and why it does what it does.
It's a bicycle that is for people that love cycling. So rather than it being a commuter bike first, it can be used as a commuter bike. In fact, what I did is that, as well as riding incredibly well, having large full-size dimensions, 10 or 20 gears, a disc brake option. I mean, it's got all the equipment.
I'm just letting him talk.
So, as well as it having those things, I did decide that it was very important to try and make it a compact. And what that means is that instead of one hinge in the middle, it's got two hinges and it does fold down very compact. So whilst it may be slightly bigger than some commuters, you can still get it on a train or get three of them in the boot of a car.
So that's the interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because quite often people will come along and go, I've developed a foldable this or a usable that. And it turns out to be more like Clive Sinclair's electric car, which was basically a skateboard with handlebars, really. Mm. And in the old days, a lot of foldable bikes really weren't bikes at all. You know, they were just, you know, two wheels and a handlebar and a saddle that came away.
They were not popular.
And they weren't really popular because they weren't very pleasant to ride.
Not really. And this is a fascinating period. There's a huge amount of product development going on and new products coming out. But I think what we did that was a bit different was just I realised that if it was going to be successful, it needed to be, you know, as good as it could be. Mm. And by deciding it would be compact mm. as well as a great what, bike to ride, it would take a long time.
What made you decide to make a bike that was foldable and compact? What was it about that that you wanted to do?
Well, I suppose, and it's common with the people that ride folding bikes, and I'm included, but there was the day when I rode my first folding bike, which was on a holiday in Bruges.
Right.
And I understood exactly why it was. I was there with a car, mm. and but didn't bring my bike with me and was regretting it.
Mm.
Bought a folding bike, and it just made complete sense.
Right.
But the high level of disappointment about how it flexed and was, it just, I just knew it wasn't a great bike, and then returned and thought, and I didn't know at that point I would design a folding bike.
Right.
But it was on the back burner, if you like.
Yeah, sure.
Later, when I left the family business, then suddenly the time was right.
Mm. Okay. And I like that. I mean, and so many things end up like that. I used to own a motorhome because I had a motor racing team.
Yeah.
And of course, when you're driving a motorhome and all the rest of it, it's all good fun and you're eating your Yorkie bars and giving it there, there, there. When you get anywhere, if you just want to pop out down a cafe or something, taking a motorhome is ridiculous. So all of us end up, we start off with a little motorbike attached to the back and then that doesn't work. And eventually you end up towing a Fiat Arbuath because that's the smallest car you can get and you can tow and go somewhere. So I understand this portability issue.
Yes,
it's a very similar thing, isn't it?
I mean, motorhomes are a great example. I mean, mm. people do have folding bikes.
Exactly.
That are carried on motorhomes.
Two things, really. So it's, I suppose it's a love and a hate. Coming from somebody who, you know, competes and everything, obviously I can take my front wheel off.
Yep.
I can fit my bike in my Fiat 500.
Yes.
It goes in there without even the roof being off.
Mm.
So tell me...
Mind you, all the glass is broken in that car.
So would it be something that you see for me that would go, actually, when you go away, the performance of it would give you exactly the same as, say, a lower-end bike rather than a top-end bike? We're comparable, well,
there,
aren't
we? There has actually been a category of folding bikes, a category that slips in that's not really folding bikes, that's called separable. And separable, for many years, have been the better quality bike, but you'd have to take a wheel off or a part off or the pedals off. And the reason that they just ignored the mechanical challenge of getting a very, you know, a compact package. So what I was doing is, no, I'm sorry, if you need to fold this thing up, it's got to be done very quickly in a few seconds. But yeah, it's got to be as good as any bike. So I know that I can ride on my bike for 10, 20, 30 miles and it, you don't know you've been on a folding bike. That was my challenge.
Right, okay.
But it will fit into the boot of a car and it will fold in under 20 seconds.
Right. And do you find that you're putting on things like electric gears? No, here we go. Are you ready? That's so are you fine. Putting DI2s on there? Are you not able to put that on?
What's she
Where
saying?
Are you?
What's she saying? I don't know what she's saying.
Don't tell him, sure. Well, no, don't tell him.
Even I'm getting a little bit lost. No, that's an option for the future for us. We're fascinated with electric bikes. And road bikes and all sort of it. Mm. I mean, Crosshead, the plan with Crosshead is to grow the business and to introduce more products.
Right, okay.
Electric bikes is a fascinating market, but it's a whole new area.
And they're the biggest selling marketplace. Electric bikes are crazy.
Just go over this. I used to know a chap called Terry John that ran a shop in Canterbury that sold electric bikes, and he went bust a couple of years ago.
I don't know how.
No, but I think that's because it was too early into the market.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what it was, and the products weren't exactly where they needed to be at that time.
They've absolutely taken off now.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So just give me an overview of what an electric bike is and why it's...
Well, it started really in the mountain bike area. So, say, for example, you've got Active, which is the biggest bike shop in... Folkestone, Steve Burton. I was talking to him about it. So mountain bikes, they can go up
mountains.
Mountains and down
the other side.
Obviously, it takes longer to go up. You've got a big mountain bike and then you go down. And downhill bikes are really heavy because you want them to be heavier so you can go faster. Put an electric motor on them so they can go up. They're gonna cover more ground.
Right, okay.
And then you've got people who don't want to cycle so far, but obviously they've got an electric bike, they can go further.
Right.
So it makes sense.
So, but it always struck me looking at these that what it was an entry level to a small moped, if you see what I mean, without all the faffing around with it. So, you know, a kid could ride an electric bike and pretend it was a moped kind of thing.
I think what's happening is that it's extending, electric bikes are extending the length of time that people are riding bicycles.
Yeah. Mm.
So the big growth market are people over 50s that, but also new people that, you know, that maybe they didn't feel so safe on a bicycle.
Mm.
But the electric bicycle gives them a sense of confidence. They can go further.
Yeah.
So it's extending the market for bicycles. Sure. Is growing.
Okay.
And it's a fascinating area.
Absolutely. Well, let's come back to where you are with your products.
Yes.
As far as you've got at the moment. And I understand what you're saying. You're looking at developing this in all kinds of ways. So you've actually got a bike on the market now.
That's right.
Okay. So tell us about the products that you actually, so if, presumably if I want to buy one, I can go into your website or come up to your factory or whatever it is, however you're going to sell it. And we'll come across that in a minute.
Yeah.
So if I go, I want a crosshead bike. What is it I'm going to get at the moment? What's available? Explain what your product is right now.
Yeah, we've got a sports tourer,
right.
Which is the bike that's available right now.
Okay, cool.
An all-terrain folding bike that's available now too.
Right.
One that's on pre-sales, and that's just because we've got to get the mudguards and the rack delivered, so there's a bit of a delay on that.
Right.
And finally, a race, which is, in other words, pursuit bars, disc brakes, 20 gears. That one is under development. I mean, we're riding them,
right?
But that's not quite ready.
Okay, so you've got what, five products?
No, sorry, that's four products.
Four products:
sports, tour, all terrain, and race.
Okay, cool.
So the sports is the one that's ready right now.
Okay.
The big advantage is I've designed one frame that has, so all these different types of bikes are built off the single frame.
So what you've got is a foldable frame.
That's right.
That has a design to it, and then what you've done is attached different appendages. I'm getting all technical now, aren't I?
That's absolutely
different appendages,
right,
for different types of usage. You know,
yes, to make sure that we fulfil all the user requirements.
Okay.
But what I'm really saying is that there is the potential to change parts in the future for our customers.
Yeah.
What do you make the bikes with? Are they steel? Are they carbon fibre? So what?
Good question. It's an aluminium frame. What's great about that is aluminium frames are extremely resilient.
Mm.
But it gave us great flexibility in how it was designed.
Mm.
So it's a mix of casting, and they're all bespoke. Everything's I've designed with my designers and engineers. We've had the parts made, and we're making them in our factory.
Mm.
And that's an important distinction I'd like to make, is that a very small percentage of British companies are actually making their own bikes.
Yeah, most of them are outsourced. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
but we are that ambitious.
Mm.
We're aiming to manufacture them in our. Well, we are manufacturing them,
and
the frame is absolutely contemporary, streamlined aerofoil tubes, and the mechanism is generally housed inside the section. So it's very high technology solutions, and patented too.
I love it. I love manufacturing because you've taken this design. You've had to go through every physical process in business. That's why we're excited, because it's business at its highest, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, you've got to produce a product.
Yep.
From start to finish, the legal side of it, how to gate it up so that it's secure enough for you to then put to market.
Well,
so
absolutely.
It's
brilliant.
It's a very challenging project, but one that I'm really enjoying.
Absolutely.
And I can't wait to get onto this next stage and create the awareness. I do have a sports agency in London working with us,
right,
but it's very early days. We've just started to really get the word out there, and the aim is start with the UK and then move on to Europe and America.
Fantastic. Well, I really love this. I really love that you're doing this, you know, because as Bert alluded, you know, the fact is nowadays with service businesses, and all my businesses are service businesses, it's much easier to start a service business. It's there's less risk. You know, you've only got your time really that you're going to lose out on. When you're manufacturing something, there's much bigger risks, there's much bigger overheads, there's much bigger costs. And probably not as much profit at the end of the day, really. So it's a labour of love. It's a passion. It's something. And so all power to you, Stuart. And we've got much respect for what you're doing. and we hope you are incredibly successful with this. And become the Claude Butler of Deal.
You need to do a pink one now, because you know Chris Froome won
pink
the...
Pink one.
Hold on a minute. Hold all on right, a minute. Right. Chris Froome won legendary the Giro d'Italia this week.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have the pink... He wears a pink jersey.
Yeah,
because he wins. Did you see his bike as they went through Rome? They had this pink bike all made up for him ready, because they obviously wanted him to win. And then everybody's got pink and that. That's what you should do next. Pink's going to be pink in, I'll bike. Tell you.
I love it. Promise you, I'll think about it.
There
loads.
You go. Seriously, because Chris Froome is like.
She's
pink.
Just trying to blank you into making
I'd
a
love
bike.
A pink
for her,
bike.
She want a pink, because she wants a pink
help.
Bike. Yeah.
I can help.
I know her. I know her. Don't worry about
Unfortunately,
that.
Unfortunately, it's a silver bike.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can talk, Stuart.
We have.
Yeah.
We have ways of making it pink.
Stuart, thank you so much for that. It's really fascinating, and we wish you much success. If people want to find out about Crosshead Bikes, what's the easiest way to do that?
I think crosshead.co.uk is the easiest way that gets people started.
Absolutely. So go to the website, crosshead.co.uk.
Yes, or .com.
Or .com. There is a link on the Kent Business Radio website.
Wonderful.
And that will be on there forever. Do check it out. Have a look. Have a look at Stuart's bikes. They're fabulous. If you're in the market for a folding bike, support your local manufacturer. We wish you much success with this, and I'm sure you are going to be successful. For the moment, Stuart, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. But for the moment, Stuart Lambert, product designer extraordinaire. Yeah. Congratulations, and keep going.
My pleasure.
Fantastic. Good stuff. We've got loads of tweets coming in and emails and stuff. I want to tell you about a few things going on. I've got an email here from the lovely Gemma Fairclough Haynes, and she says, please can you give our pop-up shop a shout-out over the next couple of weeks? Do you have a burning question about HR or employment law, whether you have 30 employees or you're thinking of taking on your first member of staff, Bird?
Yeah.
You can take advantage of the opportunity to get free advice from Orchard Employment Law. On the 13th of June, Gemma Fairclough Haynes of Orchard Employment Law will be hosting a pop-up law clinic at HSBC Bank in Maidstone. So whether you want to be reassured that you're doing things right, or you have a question that you would love to be answered, if you email Lucy at orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk to book your free 20-minute consultation, because there are limited slots, and that's taking place at HSBC Bank in Maidstone, which happens to be in Week Street, because I know it's on the corner there of the junction, having propped up the bank because it collapsed at one stage into its basement, but they've now refurbished it. So it's on the corner of King Street and Week Street. Do email Lucy at orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk to book your free 20-minute consultation.
Oh, you want me?
Yeah.
Excellent. Looking for superheroes to run in support of young people in Kent. Local charities, the Kenwood Trust and You Can Youth Cancer Support have joined forces and are inviting people to take part in the first Kent superhero run. What would you go as?
Superhero wise,
Hulk. Really?
Yeah.
The 5K run will take place in the stunning setting of Kenwood Trust headquarters in Yalding, and this is on Sunday the 8th of July, and it starts at 10 a.m. Here, wasn't this the one we got you to say that you would do the 5K run? Why are you looking at me like
I don't
that?
Remember that.
Yes, you do.
I don't remember
my
that.
My finger's loading and everything
I
now.
Don't I'm remember like, that.
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yes, we've got to start training you, Mr.
Is that right?
Andrews.
Funnily enough, Penny's just sent, Penny Williams, who's the chief executive of Kenwood Trust, just sent me a message telling me to do this. But as it happens, I already had a thing about it anyway, so I'm going to do this. Also talking about the Kenwood Trust. For those of you who don't know, Kenwood Trust is a charity based in Yalding, just outside Maidstone. And Kenwood House is a Georgian country house. And it's a rehabilitation centre for people with drink and drugs and alcohol addiction problems. And they do a fabulous job. It's very expensive to maintain, so they need to raise lots and lots of money. And they've got a thing called the Butterfly Ball. And the Butterfly Ball is taking place in July. And it's an evening event. And Cheryl Baker will be there. Cheryl, you remember Cheryl Baker?
You got a feeling.
Yeah, that's the chap. Yeah.
And then you got it slow.
Yeah, Bucks Fizz. And she's the host for the evening. And you're going to be dazzled by world-class magician Etienne Pradier.
We love him.
I love Etienne. He's a mate of mine. And he's really brilliant. He's the best close-up magician ever.
I've seen the bottle a million times and I still can't
I've made Etienne, just me and Etienne, I've gone, do the bottle trick now, otherwise I'll punch you. And he's gone, really? And I've gone, yeah, and I want to get close to this and I want to work, and I've got within inches of watching him do it and I still can't
you
see
can't
how he does
see
it.
Anything, can you?
I can't see how he does it. It's no. just magic. That's all you can it's say, magic. Really. There's no trick to it. It is just magic. So Etienne Pradier, and there's a mocktail entertainer, and then there's dancing to the Fizz. Yeah, the new reformed Bucks Fizz with the lineup. I think three of them from the original Bucks Fizz are there. Mike and Cheryl and Jay Aston. Yeah. Tickets are just £65 a person, or you can book a table for £600. It's black tie and carriages at midnight. I have to tell you, of course, that there is no alcohol there for obvious reasons. But do go along. And that's, four course dinner and charity auction. And the auction's been done by Clive Empson, who better to do an auction. Although I am doing an auction on Friday night as well.
Excellent. Mm. Can I finish this?
Go on.
It was nicely done, though.
Thank you.
Pleasure. So this is the superhero.
Oh, by the way,
run.
Sorry, I didn't tell you. It's on Friday the 6th of July. I should have told you that.
That's before
you
this.
You can carry on now.
You know what you could do?
What?
You can go to their event on the Friday, have your rest day on the Saturday, and then boom, straight into your 5K run on the Sunday, Mr.
Yeah.
Andrews.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You can offer support to
and
young...
And then you can take me straight to hospital from there, right?
No, because I would have trained you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Here we go. Can I finish this?
Oh, go on.
Here we go. You can offer support to young people aged 10 to 30 throughout Kent whose lives have been impacted by cancer, offering counselling and therapeutic support, as well as short breaks to Hinton House, a recently opened holiday home on the Kent coast. So if you want to know more about this, go to www.kenwoodtrust.org.uk. I love this.
Cool. I'm going to tell you about something that's happening tomorrow. Manana.
That's the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. It's happening here at Kent Space.
It's the conversation.
No, I know the conversation's happening tomorrow.
And it's here.
And that is here.
At 1 till 2.
Yeah.
With Mark Freed. There you go.
So that was a quick plug that Berg got in there for her show, The Conversation, here tomorrow at 1 o'clock on this very station, channelradio.co.uk/2.
Thank you, Mr. Andrews.
Do have a listen to it. It is reasonably okay.
It's remarkable.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. It's remarkably good.
We've got massive viewing.
Yeah. No, you have. And it is a good show. It is a really good show. And you have some fabulous guests on.
Carry on.
Yeah. No,
You're mocking me now.
No, I'm not. You got me on that now because you slipped that in surreptitiously.
Smooth.
And after you've listened to Bird, you can then come down here to where the studios are at Kent Space in Ashford because they have their grand opening. Grand opening and networking evening tomorrow, 30th of May. And it's been opened by the Mayor of Ashford. And it's to open the top two floors here, which have just been refurbished, which is what that drilling is you just heard. Mm. The Mayor of Ashford is hosting the official opening of the Letraset building in Ashford with some fantastic people attending. That'd be me and you, Bird.
It is.
They were involved in helping us make Kent Space Ashford such a success. It would be great if you could come along and network with our existing residents. That'll be you and me, Bird.
Yep.
And local Ashford businesses on the night. And it's from 5:30. If you want to come along, it's free and everything. But just email sm@kentspace.co.uk to let them know you're coming. Yeah.
Well, while we're on the point of just talking about stuff, what we're doing, I know, look at you, you're just lying back thinking, here she goes again.
No. I'm lying back because it's the only way I can see the top screen out of the top of my glasses.
Right, well, listen, I am giving an award away.
Are you?
I am, at the Rob Knox Film Festival. Can you believe it?
Blimey.
I know, I feel very, very excited.
Well, come on in, tell us more.
So, remember Michael Waring? He is one of the film directors.
Belly on Films, yeah.
He was on my show ages ago, and he said, Bird, we'd love to have you.
She's such a name dropper, isn't she?
Thanks very much, yeah.
That's right.
Well, anyway, so, yes, we're going to give an award. I'm going to go properly dressing up.
You're dressing and everything.
For sure.
You're not wearing Lycra.
No.
You're not cycling,
No.
Yeah?
No. I'm so excited. So I'm getting an award. It's going to be big, you know, red carpet.
What dress are you wearing?
Stuff. I think I'm going to go vintage.
Are you?
You know, big vintage, big fluffy.
Yeah, go for
big,
it. Yeah, yeah.
And I think Stephen's going to wear
crinoline
his kilt.
And bustle, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and Stephen will wear his kilt. That would be hilarious,
wouldn't it? Is he Scottish?
Yes.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Okay. And where is this and when is this?
It's the 6th of June, Robin Knox Film Festival. Go and check it out, because you can go. You can go and see it all, and it's just the most amazing creatives are there, and how they've just put all film together. I love it.
And what award are you giving out?
No idea.
Oh, you don't know?
No. So I'm just going, and I've got to give a speech and everything.
Because,
I love it.
Because you know the film, the last film that I backed won an award, Squirrel Island. No, it did. No, it's not a joke. I'm just telling you. Ooh. Yeah, no, I'm just telling you. It was an animated film.
Was it a horror
film.
Movie or something?
No, well, it was actually, yeah, but it was an animated movie. And the lovely lady who made the movie made all the models in it as well. And it's this, what do they call it? Shot frame movies, you know, where you kind of position everything, take a picture and then position it again and stuff. She made all the models and everything. It's brilliant.
I love it. Yeah. So that's coming up 6th of June. Go and check it out, robknoxfilmfestival.co.uk, because you can go and see.
Fantastic. I might well come. Nominations are now open for the Seven Oaks Business Awards 2018. If you want to nominate someone, or indeed nominate yourself, there's loads of categories. You can email admin.tp@sevenoakstown.gov.uk. And the awards ceremony, I happen to know because I'm chairing it, is in September at the Knoll Academy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Marsh Networking Over Coffee. This is the 6th of June, and that's and the 11th of July at Cinque-Port Arms. That's in New Romney. The Marsh Networking Over Breakfast on the 14th of June, 26th of July is at the Ship, Dymchurch. I love it that these are all pubs and that they're open in the morning. Mm-hmm. Includes a full English breakfast. You've been there, haven't you? Mm-hmm. You loved it, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Mm. And the Marsh After Hours Networking on the 19th of June and 17th of July. So that's at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's at the Ship as well. And this is why I love him, this man, so much. And you can contact Terry Botfield at terry@botfield.net. But I knew you were going to jump in. But what's his Twitter handle, Mr. Andrews?
TD Botty.
We love it.
Yeah.
So we love you, Terry.
Follow the Botty. On Excellent. The Twitter, TD Botty. Give him a follow.
How did he get away with it?
Yeah, but I have been to his networking events, and they're really cool. They're really good. The Marsh needs some help and support.
Yeah, it does.
It's an area where there's not a lot going on, and it's one of the more, I don't know what the correct term is, really. It's an under-resourced area, and Terry is trying really hard to kind of raise the profile of the Marsh.
Well, it's out the way, isn't it?
So. It is. I mean, we've got a connection with the Marsh because our other studio's at Dymchurch, so we have got a connection with the Marsh. But, yeah, I have been to his events, and they're really good, and I suggest you go. Right, this has started. So some of the events are taking place, but it's running for another couple of weeks, and it's the Festival Musica Nigella. And people like me reading this out because my best Cockney French comes into play.
Hold on,
here.
You haven't even read it out yet. You've given it to me every week, so this will be the first one. Yeah, go on, let's laugh.
Natalie was on the show, and I had her read it as well.
No, you didn't. You gave it to me, and I said, Natalie, have this, and so you set me up.
But I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand what she was saying because she pronounced all these French places really badly. Yeah, anyway, it's the Festival Musica Nigella. It's a classical musical festival, and it's taking place on the Côte d'Opale.
I can't wait till he says Montreuil, yeah. But let's carry on from there.
Montreuil, where's that?
It's on the page. Go on. He doesn't even know how it's spelt. This is brilliant. I love it. Go on.
It's the 13th year that it's run.
Where is it?
It's on the Côte d'Opale, isn't it, Cock? Right? So don't get carried away. It's from the 24th of May to the 3rd of June. So it's already started. It's the French touch. Olivier Carreau, the festival's president and passionate supporter of classical music, and his artistic director, Takanori Nomoto, have invited a group of internationally renowned artists to perform classical music at the festival. There's a wide variety of concerts and feature new musical arrangements, bringing to life new works. I have played a few Debussy numbers that they've redone over the last few weeks. It's a voyage in the world of classical music, and it's taking place all along the north French coast. So, but you can pop backwards and forwards, and there's loads of different venues that they're doing. There's some in a museum, there's some in a theatre, there's some historical monuments, there's a church, there's the beach, there's some restaurants, there's some private gardens, and there's a riverbank.
I know where all of these are taking place. I know what you've just done, because I know that email inside and out.
Yeah.
You've literally just got rid of all the villages' names. Look at his face, and just put where they are.
So you want me to tell you where the
I want you to say Montoy. Go on.
Do you?
Yeah, you can't.
You don't want me to say Tigny Noyel. Tigny Noyel lies between the Bay de Somme.
Oui.
Yeah.
Hey.
Bonjour, Summer.
Oui, continue.
Mange-tu. It's famous for... I can't say this, and it's in English. It's famous for its ornithological park.
I know.
At Le Marquenterre.
We love it. Go on.
Yeah. And the charming medieval town of...
Montreuil.
Montreuil-sur-Mer. Gateway to the rolling countryside of Le Sept Valley. In 2016, Montreuil-sur-Mer came second in the competition to find what the French considered as their favourite village.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, it is absolutely gorgeous. I've got some friends that live there and it's a fabulous place. Le Touquet Paris Plage and Bourg-sur-Mer, seaside resort towns famous for their extensive white sand beaches, are also close at hand. You can pop over and visit if you want to book your tickets and find out what events are still running up until the middle of June.
World Wide Web.
MusicaNigella.fr. MusicaNigella.fr. Do check it out.
C'est très bien.
Good. A really good friend of mine's organised this.
Really?
Lovely Celine Gray. So well done, Celine. Mm. Fantastic. Good. What you got?
Well, Print Fest Sevenoaks 2018. This is 23rd of May to the 10th of June. This is Sevenoaks Kaleidoscope Gallery. The gallery is open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday, 9 till 6. Then we've got original prints, workshops and artist talks are celebrating the best of printmaking in the UK. This covers screen prints to emerging talent, and students will be exhibiting demonstrations, workshops and program of talks offer the visitors of all ages an insight to the magical world of printmaking. So this is artists in residence days throughout the festival, which is Thursday to the 24th of 31st of May. So it's just all art. Love it.
Fantastic. Cool. Coming up soon on the 26th of June, we have the Grow Kent Business Show at Maidstone and Medway, taking place at the Mercure Maidstone Hotel. That's the Great Danes.
Are you doing it?
Well, that's interesting.
It's on a Tuesday, isn't it?
It's a Tuesday. See, I normally do all of it, but because it's a Tuesday and I'm here, I'm not chairing it. I am chairing the breakfast, and I will be back to MC the awards in the evening, but during the day, I've got to come and do this radio show.
Well, you haven't got to, have you?
No, but I am. And don't you try and wheedle your way into this seat, young lady. I know what you're up to. She goes, "That's all right, Bert." She said, "All right, Paul, you don't need to do it. I'll be there. I can do the radio show for you."
I'm supporting you.
Yeah. She's just trying to take my job. Anyway, it's the Grow Kent Maidstone and Medway show. Fantastic lineup of speakers. There's some great speakers there. I can't remember all of them, but you've got Andrew Murch, who's an IP lawyer, talking about IP. You've got the lovely Amy from the Kent Police Cybercrime Unit talking about cybercrime and how to protect yourself. You've got the fantastic Linda Garcia talking about productivity from Aluxi Consulting. You got business doctors there, Peter Searle. There's Leah Buckingham talking about social media. There's just so many people. Dan Knowlton of KPS. Just loads and loads of speakers. A great lineup of speakers, great lineup of workshops. It's going to be a fabulous event. Get there, growkent.co.uk, wibblywobblyway.growkent.co.uk.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one last bit because I know it's time's going on.
It is.
We've got Slope Off Friday. I'm ever so sorry. Final call. Choose your menu and details. And this is Slope Off Friday, June the 8th. May the force be with you. 2 p.m.
Fantastic. And of course, it's the big one this Friday. There's a lot happening this week, isn't there?
There is.
You know, because you've got venues and events expo on Thursday. And then on Friday, we've got ZC Live.
I'm not there.
At the Student Academy. You're not going?
I'm training. I'm in Cambridge, aren't I?
That's a real shame.
I know.
Friday the 1st of June, the Stroud Academy, in Rochester, 8:30 till 4. Guess how much it is to go?
Free.
It's absolutely free. It's totally free. Learn how to accelerate your digital and social media marketing in your business. You'll learn how to create more leads by mastering key strategies over a whole day with international speaker, business owner and TV commentator, who's now just being shipped out to the US as well.
Yes.
Zoe Cairns. We also have a number of industry experts who will be sharing their tips and strategies too. You've got to believe there is some fantastic speakers at this from all kinds of organisations, from Bruce Daisley at Twitter, Google, Facebook, Instagram. All kinds of people are going to be there. It's a big event. It's a really, really big event. I'm expecting hundreds of people there. It's free to go. Guess who's cheering the morning session?
You.
Oh, that'll be me then. Okay. So we look forward to seeing you there. ZC Live, ZCSocialMedia.com to register your free space.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah. It's a great day.
It's brilliant. It really is brilliant, and you mustn't miss it. It's really good. And do you know what? That's kind of brought us to the end of
it's
the show.
It's crazy.
Couple of things. At this point, I normally tell you about the Business Bunker Extra show on Friday, but there isn't one.
No.
This week, because Amanda's been a bit busy this week, and Amanda will be at ZC Live because we're going to have a Business Bunker pop-up radio there. So there'll be a repeat show of the Bunker Extra show this Friday at 11 till 12, but she'll be back the week after. Coming up for the rest of today here on Channel Radio, channelradio.co.uk/1, at 5 o'clock we have Mr. Craig Avery, the lady's favourite, with his stripy socks and 2 hours of celebrity interviews and music. That's followed at 9 o'clock by Mr. James LaSalle, keyboard player with Cockney Rebel and his world tour music. And then, as always, on a Tuesday we finish up with
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down.
Cool drum beat and a squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, as always, on a Tuesday at 11 o'clock, we finish up with Mr. Boy George with the wonderful Club Culture show. We thank you very much for listening to today's Business Bunker show. It's been a pleasure to spend 2 hours with you. I'd like to say a massive thank you to our two guests today, the lovely Josephine McCartney of Kent Community Foundation. Thank you so much, Josephine. And also Mr. Stuart Lambert of Crosshead Bikes. Thank you so much, both of you, for being fabulous guests on the show. Join us again next week for another Business Bunker show. But in the meantime, thank you so much. Goodbye and have a fantastic week. And we'll see you at the County Showground on Thursday and then at ZC Live on Friday. See you all then. Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.